I have a dream that all men are created equal.
Welcome back to Your Story. Yes, it's Ian here. And that was All You Said by Everyday Jones. I got them from the Podsafe Audio. The links are on the website. Go check them out. And the website, if you want, is yourstorypodcast.com. Today, we're having another chat with somebody about their life. Today, we're talking to Meg. Meg's a lady I know who operates a bakery not far from me. One of the coolest bakeries I know. We have a bit of a chat about that. And we also talk about Meg's mountain biking experience. She's quite an awesome athlete. And she came back to it in the recent years, middle-aged, much like myself. And she's doing exceptionally well. And we talk about that. And for those of you out there who like to think you're pretty fit, see if you can keep up with this girl. We also discussed the fact that a while back, they were quite affluent, and through business events, they lost a great deal of money, and how they've had to deal with living their life without that affluence that they were once used to. I hope you enjoy the story. It's good. I did. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Like when I came back from it, I thought, that's a good one. So enjoy.
Okay, it's the 17th of September, and I'm sitting in a coffee shop here with a a lovely woman I've met recently. Well, past couple of years we've known each other, haven't we, Meg?
Yes.
So welcome, Meg. And the reason I want to talk to you primarily is I think you're pretty damn cool. I want to explore some of your background, you know. Meg has one of, well, you're part owner, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you're part owner of what I reckon is one of the coolest bakeries in Australia. It's people who know far more about bread than I do have actually said that it is arguably the best bread in Australia.
We think so.
I think so too. And it's called Sol Bread. And that's S-O-L, as in sun. And it's literally about 300 metres from where I live, so it's my local bakery.
Yay.
And I met Meg there a couple of years ago, and ever since then I've been devouring this amazing... well, how would you describe it? So, Meg, describe the bread for starters.
I just describe it as really natural. It's just a natural food with nothing added in. That's why I think it's great. It's just how bread was meant to be, how it was always made traditionally. So that's why it's... I think it's great to have food that's just not processed and not made of junk and doesn't have preservatives. And
what sort of bread is it?
It's sourdough.
It's sourdough, yeah.
It's sort of sourdough. So we don't use yeast in any of the bread.
So for the people who wouldn't understand what sourdough bread is, can you explain that?
Well, it's
compared
just,
to
it's,
what we buy at the supermarket.
It's made with a starter, which is made out of flour and water, which ferments. So that is the basis of the bread.
And that fermentation comes from?
Just from the flour and the water being left to do its thing.
Mm, and catch natural bugs that
catches
fall into
natural bugs, yep.
Yep.
So that forms the basis of the bread. Then it's a very, very slow process of... the fermentation with the flour and the water and the little bit of salt. So it takes a long time for the bread to be ready to bake.
How long does it take to rise?
From go to woe, 12 to 14 hours.
Seriously?
So compared to, a supermarket loaf, they would put additives in the bread and lots of yeast to make it rise really quickly. So it's probably a 1.5-2 hour turnaround.
I didn't realise it took that long, 14 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so you're basically baking, you're preparing the day after tomorrow's bread today.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're not actually one of the bakers, are you?
No, I did. When we first started, I baked a little bit, but not anymore.
So what's the structure of the company? Where do you fit into it? Because it's not a small enterprise anymore. Once upon a time it was one little bakery, but you've got a few shops now.
We've got a few shops. Interestingly enough, the structure changed last week.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Ah, okay.
It started off as you said, a small business.
Did it start here in West End? That was the first shop?
It started in West End.
That was the first shop that I go to in Vulture Street?
Yep. Yep. And it started when a friend of mine that I knew from Blue Mountains came to us and said, I want to start a bakery, I don't have any money, would you like to be partners? Because he knew I liked good bread and we'd actually ridden together in the mountains and it was sort of something I really liked to do. And we said, yep, that'd be great. So it started from there. There were three of us and the guys did the baking and I did the admin. And it quickly grew.
So how many people started in it? Was it
you, three.
So it's your husband?
He didn't count at the start.
Oh, okay. So
the two bakers.
This buddy of yours, he and a mate?
Yep.
And you?
Yep.
Okay.
And then it quickly grew beyond their expectations to the point where they couldn't really cope with the financial or the physical pressure.
When did you start?
9 years ago.
Is that all? Wow. Yep. I thought it was longer than that. Okay.
9 years. So they both decided to sell their shares to Eric, who came in as our new partner.
Right.
He was a French baker, excellent baker, fantastic. And so we've been with Eric since then. And just last week we actually bought him out.
Oh, so okay.
It's the company structure's changed over the last few years quite dramatically.
Okay, so who owns Sol Bread now?
My husband and I now own 51%.
Okay.
And we have a some business partners with another bakery that we own called Wild Breads.
Are you part of Wild Breads as well?
Yeah.
Ah, I thought they were the competition.
Well, it's a funny sort of relationship.
Because I don't like their bread anywhere near as much as yours.
No, it's a commercial bakery.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So.
And they use other than salt sourdoughs, but they sell some of your breads, don't they? Sell some salt?
Well, they've been wholesaling some salt breads.
Yeah, because I've seen some of Salt Bread's bread at Wild Breads, and I thought, what's going on here? so that explains it. The plot thickens.
The plot thickens.
Okay.
Yes. So now Kim, my husband's very much involved in the running of the business.
Yeah, I remember. Gee, you know, I didn't realise it was 9 years, that's all, because I must have found you quite early in the piece, you know, when you're only a couple of years old. Because do you remember me when I was working on Matrix, going down to Sydney to work on the movie? I used to come in and buy 6 and 8 loaves at a time and take them down to Sydney and freeze them to last me until I came back again. You know? So, yeah, no, it was...
Lots of people do that.
But this is the part that I've... This is where I've met you, through the bakery, and you've grown now. You're now what? You've got a store down the Gold Coast.
That's not a franchise, but someone else owns it with a license,
right,
to be Salt Bread's. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have the 3 shops in Brisbane: Newstead, Paddington.
Newstead's the bakery now, isn't it? Yeah. And Paddington. Now that looks very cool. That looks like more like a hardcore coffee shop than.
Well, it was set up to be more of a cafe restaurant.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that's one part of your life, but the other bit that I'm very interested in is this other bit, and you mentioned it briefly, you mentioned that you caught up with this fellow when you were riding the Blue Mountains, so people, I just want you to, come on, give me the drum on the cycling.
Drum on the cycling.
Okay, where did that start? Yeah, because we've got one hardcore mountain biker here.
I used to be... we lived in Switzerland for a while, and there I did a lot of road riding, road cycling, and triathlons.
Okay.
And
did you hang out around the tour?
No.
No, I don't mean actually ride in, but just go and see the tour.
We didn't actually. No, it was just too busy. And I actually don't really enjoy watching those sort of things that much.
Right.
I'd like the scene, but I'd rather be doing it myself.
Yep.
I'd rather go and ride the Tour de France when the crowds aren't there than
rather be an active participant than a spectator. Yep.
And a few of the races we did watch, you literally stand there the whole day and then you just blink like that, turn your head and they're gone.
Yeah, the whole pack's gone. Yeah.
It's just such a quick thing. So, no. Anyway, did heaps of road riding there, and then we decided to come back to Australia and we lived in the Blue Mountains.
Right. Was this when you in your 20s?
Yeah, it would have been late 20s.
Right.
Yep, late 20s. And the roads there are very dangerous to ride on, so I got a mountain bike and started...
In the Blue Mountains?
In the Blue Mountains.
Yeah.
Started riding with the guys at the bakery and lots of other people. And we had a shop there. We had an outdoor shop, so we were sort of the...
Well, outdoor clothing and hiking type stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
So we were sort of a centre for people to come to in the mountains, and so I used to lead rides and things like that. And then I got talked into going to a race for some unknown reason.
Mountain bike race.
And I won. I thought, oh, that's pretty good.
So how old were you?
I was old to start, 29, 30.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you didn't start when you were like 22, you know, sweet young
not
thing.
Not mountain biking.
Okay.
Anyway, it progressed from there, and I ended up winning the Australian Championships and going to the Worlds and having a good time doing that. And then, so I did that for a couple of years, and we had small children at the time, so it got hard to do the travelling.
So you went to the World Championships. How far did you get in there?
I finished 21st the first year, and 24th the second year, which was... pretty good, really.
Oh, it's exceptional. It's just that I had to ask that question because it wouldn't have surprised me if you just passed over it and you'd won it.
Yeah. No.
Because I've seen you do that to me a couple of times in these discussions. Oh, yeah, I won it.
No, so it was hard. It was hard for the family, for me, because I had to travel a lot to race at that level. So,
did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it to a certain extent, but I found the racing at world level really stressful.
As in the expectations, the personal expectations?
Personal expectations and just the because I didn't have a coach, I didn't have a support system like every other cyclist there had. They were all sponsored riders, big teams, and we'd turn up from Australia. You know, I did my training that I did myself, and no one told me what to do. And so it was hard to compete with women who were fully sponsored and fully looked after, and, you know, you turn up.
And your sponsorship is the grocery money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, whilst it was great fun and a great experience, it was pretty stressful at the same time.
Yeah. But you drag Kim and the kids around with you?
No. Because we had the business and...
Right, this is the business in the Blue Mountains. Yep.
And then we also had a shop in Sydney, so it was quite a hectic time, really. And Toby was only two when I was racing, so...
Right.
It was full-on for Kim running the business and looking after kids at the same time.
Yeah.
So, anyway... I had a bad accident and wrecked my shoulder just before the Olympic trials.
Which Olympics?
The Atlanta.
Was that 94?
94, yep. So at that point I decided to retire from full-on competition.
Right, the ripe old age of 32 or something.
Yeah, or 33, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And so for the next 10 years, I suppose, I just rode a bit here and there and really enjoyed it. I had a good time. And 3 years ago, I thought I'd like to do a race again. So the mountain bike scene had changed a little bit and there were more long races, 100K sort of races were coming.
Yeah, this is 100K over rough country. Yeah. How rough?
Ooh, it depends where it is, but sometimes very rough.
We're talking about one-lane trails in the bush, trees hanging over it, ducking and weaving. 100 Ks of that.
100 Ks, yeah.
Most people can't do 100 Ks on a road, let alone 100 Ks of this.
Yeah, so compared to riding 100 Ks on the road, it's a lot harder and slower.
Staggeringly hard.
Yeah. So I thought I'd have a go at that, and I'd always been fairly good at endurance rather than shorter sports. So I'm still doing that and doing really well. And
so how long does it take to ride 100 Ks, if you're good?
Anything from 5 to 8 hours.
5 to 8 hours, and you've got to eat on the way, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. So I've just entered a 100-mile race, which is 160 Ks. So that's the next challenge.
We're starting to talk Hawaiian triathlons type numbers.
I've done Ironman triathlons, and it's different because you're doing the one thing. If you're doing a triathlon, you're swapping your muscle groups. And,
sure. So but we're talking. Which is harder?
Doing a long mountain bike race.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. You know, but they're the sort of times that we're talking about. We're talking about times like that, you know, where an entire day is blown out at maximum.
Yeah. It's funny because sometimes at a race, because I often finish before a lot of the guys, and people come over the line, and the last race I did, this guy came over the line and goes, "Oh, that was harder than a long day at the office." No, I've been riding longer than a hard day at the office. So, you know, they're going for 8.5, 9 hours.
Yeah. So what, 5 to 8 hours, you say? Now, when you started 3 years ago, I want to get to the numbers here. Like, a little bit I know about you. 3 years ago, you were what, 41?
43.
43, okay. You're 43. And what level of proficiency?
I'm still racing the elite women, so...
Yeah, so and how well are you doing?
I finished top 5 in...
In Australia.
Pretty much all my races.
And you win your age group.
Yeah, win my age group.
Hands down. Yeah. Like, do you win your age groups, male and female?
No.
Okay, so there are some 40-something men who beat you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. It wouldn't have surprised me, but I'd imagine you'd beat all but the top few percent.
Yeah, I'd probably finish.
You're amazing, woman.
Something.
You're amazing, and it's not as though you're a big person. It's not as though you've got... Look at your thighs. No, it's not as though you've got thighs on you like a bloody sumo wrestler or a bloody Tour de France.
No, but it's a lot of it's almost mental as well. You know, you get to the point where you're hurting so much and people...
So how do you do it? How do you get through that intense fatigue?
I guess it's just something that I've learned. I'm just... you know, you have one step at a time, and you make a goal for yourself, and you go to that goal.
That next hill, that next ridge.
Yeah, and not even that. It's almost, I'll go for 5 minutes, then I'll have something to eat, or, you know, just little steps.
Right.
Where you break it down. And then I always, you know, you've got 15 Ks to go or something, and often that's another hour or more. And I just think, okay, I've got a ride to work now. That's easy. I ride to work every day. And then I visualise where I am on my ride to work. Yeah, I've only got 6 Ks to go now. And just little things like that.
Yeah, mind games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what your personality's like? Are you a tough
mind
nut?
Games.
Are you a tough nut? Are you disciplined in yourself?
I suppose I am to a certain extent, but I guess I'm most disciplined when I'm riding a bike. It seems to be something I can turn on and turn off.
Right. Can you do that in other aspects of your life? Like, have you ever done any study?
Yeah.
What have you studied?
I did an economics degree at Melbourne Uni.
Good. Another thing. I love peeling back the layers. Economics degree.
Then I did a postgrad in recreation management or something.
Okay. So are you an economist? Are you a qualified economist?
Not really. I majored in business administration.
That's handy. Running your own little businesses, that's very handy.
Yeah.
Okay, so were you dedicated to the study? When it comes to study, can you go, right, I've got to do 3 hours of study tonight, bang, and you do it, and you're locked down, and you just plod away like you're cycling?
I could have then, but I honestly don't think I could now.
Okay, but it depends on motivation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Would you do some study now? Are you interested in doing any now?
I've thought about it.
What would you do?
If I did anything, public health is the area I'd be interested in.
Why?
Because I think I think we need to change things before people get ill. And I think that whole area of keeping people healthy before, you know, problems start would save everyone a lot of time and effort and money.
Right, so you're going to work in the health industry rather than the sickness industry.
Yeah.
Which is what the current health system is.
Yeah.
Mm. Have you seen Mike Moore's new film, Sicko?
Not yet, no.
No, I haven't seen it either. But I've.
We're just tying in that whole lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, that's what Soul Bread's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, quality, organic, healthy bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, along with everything else you produce. Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, some of the things that Soul Breads aren't that healthy, but again, they're just natural food. It's just food. It's not stuffed with things added into it to make it look and taste like.
Yeah, or last forever.
Even if the, you know, a chocolate brownie is not healthy.
Yeah, well, one thing I like. Yeah, that's right. One thing I like about your bread is it actually goes stale after a few days.
Yeah, and mold grows on it.
And mold grows on it. That's why I have to keep mine in the fridge, you know, to make it last, you know, a week or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, normal bread.
I know. Sometimes I read the ingredients on packets of things and I just go, there's nothing in there that's food.
Mm.
It's just crap.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the more people eat that stuff, the more the general health of the population will just go backwards.
Yeah.
It's
so
quite scary.
Do you eat like that at home? Do you eat strictly organic?
No, not at all.
Okay. Are you vegetarian? Do you eat a vegetarian style
of food? Yes, definitely. Okay. Eat a bit of fish and occasionally a bit of chicken.
Okay.
But we don't eat red meat.
Okay, so you eat vegetarian style of foods.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same as me, but not strictly vegetarian.
No.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I eat pretty much what I want, but in general it's good natural food. I actually really like the concept of eating food that's not changed in any way, so we eat a lot of nuts and fruit and
whole grains. Yeah.
Cereals and bread.
You eat a bit of bread, do you?
Bread. Yeah.
So, Soul Bread's a raging success, and everybody in the healthy food world in Brisbane knows about it, or in South Queensland. But where to next for you guys?
Well, where to next? In regards to Soul Breads?
Well, Soul Breads and also the cycling. Back when we haven't even talked about Kim, the hubby's mountain climbing background either.
No.
But where to for you next, personally and professionally?
Hopefully, with our new business partners, it means we have the opportunity to move on a little bit more. So,
well, you open more shops?
No, not necessarily. Just get the business to the point where it's managed, so we don't have to be there on a daily basis. Our son finishes school next year,
right.
End of next year, and then we're hoping to maybe go and live overseas again for a while.
Okay.
Really no plans, but that's the goal.
Okay.
To be free.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to stay with Solbury? We'll wait and see.
We'll wait and see.
See how it develops. Okay. What about the cycling? Yeah, you this.
Well.
Yeah, you know, like where can you take
plans,
this? You know?
Big plans for the cycling. again, after next year when Toby's finished school, I'm planning at this stage to do the endurance marathon series in the States.
Oh, what's that? Tell me about that.
Well, there's a series of...
Are you talking about the big ride across the country?
No.
Okay.
No, there's a series of marathon races similar to here, but longer, so they're 100 miles, not
right.
100 k's.
Yeah.
And there's a series of 8, so you do, which goes over, I think, 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
So I just want to do it.
So one every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then maybe...
All different types of country, you know, desert riding, yeah. Mountain riding, you know, Rockies.
Yeah. And there's also a World Marathon Championship every year now, so I'd like to race that in my age category.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a decent chance you'd win it in your age category.
I don't know how I'll go with the... As I said, I've entered a 100-mile race. There's only one in Australia.
Right.
So I've entered that for November.
It's 2 months away.
It's 2 months away. Yeah. So I'll see how that goes. And so it's another step up with training, really.
Yeah, so what's your training regime like now?
I do probably 3 long rides a week, so over 4 hours.
3 rides over 4 hours a week. Okay.
Yep.
And do you do one mega long ride?
Try and do one mega long ride at least once a month.
Oh, okay.
So not every week, because you don't recover if you do.
Okay.
You know,
what's really long? What's a long ride?
7 to 8 hours.
Okay.
And if you head out here in Brisbane, out into the hills, they're big hills.
Yeah, yeah.
Out near Mount Glorious, you know, if you go down into the valley.
Yeah, sure.
You're climbing out for up to 2 hours, so they're big hills.
God, you know, I suppose that's one of the advantages of being slim and lightweight.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, sure, you don't have the muscle mass to move yourself, but
definitely
you're also
good for climbing.
But you also don't have the weight to have to lift, so you just got to get that balance. You must have really strong but small muscles. Must be,
you might
know. Yeah. The proportions must be like that, you know, tiny little compact, powerful little muscle groups that can lift this little bit of weight out. Yeah.
I can definitely climb with the guys.
I reckon you could climb up a telephone pole myself.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the plan for the cycling.
And is the body holding up?
The body holds up to a certain extent. I have to be careful.
Yeah. And does it break occasionally?
Breaks occasionally.
What? How does it break?
If I smash myself by crashing,
then yeah, it's okay.
Not good.
So that's not good. But what about wear and tear, fatigue type injuries?
The main problem is knees.
Yeah.
So I just have to be really careful, and I do a lot of yoga type stuff. I try and do 3 to 4 yoga classes a week.
Okay.
And just be careful. You know, if I have a niggling injury, I try and look after it, not push it.
Right. So your goal is to maybe live overseas, do some hardcore endurance marathon riding.
Yeah.
And is that it? Is that where you'd like to go?
That's the sort of short-term thing.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, have to be, you know, you have to be financially stable and secure. That's another story. We had another business.
Did you?
We did.
What was that?
We were involved in a major outdoor company.
Oh, okay.
Until
climbing, hiking, backpacking type company. Yeah.
And Kim was actually CEO of that company, and we owned a fairly big share. And we got shafted big time 6 years ago, and we basically lost everything.
Ah, that's what you said as we were walking up here about making a lot of money and losing a lot of money. Ah, bugger.
So, yeah, we went from being quite wealthy to having nothing, pretty much.
Bugger. Mm. That can be stressful.
We had Solbrids. So Solbrids has been our little saviour.
Yeah, yeah.
So it started off, Solbrids really started as a play job for me.
And it became a survival mode.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay. How did you deal with that as a family? You know, losing, going from affluence to...
It was really stressful. Very, very stressful. Our daughter was at Brisbane Girls Grammar.
Yep.
We had to take her out.
Yeah, prestigious girls' school.
She hated it anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, good. So where'd you send her? Just to one of the local schools?
She went to Kelvin Grove.
Okay, that's a good school.
Yeah, she hated school, so the day she finished school was a blessing for everyone, really.
Yeah.
It was very hard on Kim, because he'd basically worked 10 years to build the company up and put his heart and soul and life into the business, and to go from that to nothing overnight was...
The company still exists?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It was just such a kick in the guts. It was really hard.
Yeah.
And then financially it was really stressful. You know, we had a mortgage, we had a leased car, we had just all the stuff that you have... health insurance and all that sort of stuff. So it was hard.
So how do you deal with that emotionally as a family? How do you then do you all just sort of climb into bed, hug each other, cry for a couple of days and then get up and back to work?
I cried for a long time, probably more than anyone else.
What were you crying for?
Just the loss of, you know, the lifestyle that I had and had been able to live, and for Kim as much as anything.
Mm.
You know, that loss wasn't only financial, but I suppose in the eyes of his peers, he just felt a failure.
Yeah.
When, you know, he wasn't at all. But it was very stressful, very hard.
Yeah.
And I guess it showed us who our friends were.
And did you find some true friends out of that? Some people who stuck by you?
The people in that business, not one single one of them
rang
him up. Oh, no, sorry, one. One girl left immediately and didn't speak to him again. But no one else offered any support or anything.
Yeah.
So that was hard as well.
Yeah.
It was really hard, yeah. So I guess we really bunkered down as just a little family unit.
Mm.
And the kids were great. They were fantastic.
Did they understand how stressful it was?
Yeah.
They were mature enough to get it?
Yeah. But even, you know, the last... Till today, until Friday, when we were able to do that transaction with Soulbreds, it's been touch and go financially for us. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. And did that threaten Soulbreds?
No.
Right.
Soulbreds was stable as a company.
Right.
But it meant that I had to work a lot myself, and Kim also had a restriction of trade placed on him.
He
couldn't work in the outdoor industry for, I think it was 2 years.
Okay.
And that's all he'd ever done. So he decided to do an MBA.
A what?
An MBA.
Oh, okay.
So he did that, and we started the other bakery, Wildbridge, because it was quite a good fit with Soulbridge. So it's been a process, I can tell you, to get to here.
Mm. Yeah, it's much more involved than I ever had any understanding.
So even the cycling for me has been a release from all that stress as well.
Yeah, I'd imagine that the stress is actually probably added.
On my bike.
Has probably given you a bit of energy to actually, you know, ride those hills.
Yeah, so that's been a great saviour, really.
Yeah. Mm. So did you pull much good stuff out of losing all of that? Do you see any benefits from it? Sure, you've lost a great lump of cash, but have you pulled any benefits from it, the experience?
I guess, you know, the benefits, you learn that you can survive, and you learn that your health is the main thing. It doesn't matter what else you have. If you're healthy and well, you know, you see people with hideous things happening in their health, and you just think, oh my God.
Did it stress Kim and your health out at any stage? Did you start suffering physically because of the stresses?
Kim did a little bit, yeah. But I guess because he had to, you know, he had to go and work for $20 an hour doing people's accounts for 3 months. And, you know, you just can't earn enough money working for that sort of money when you've been earning
a lot more.
So. So, you know, he was working stupid hours and I was working stupid hours. And the first 12 months was really hard.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I can see what you're saying. Basically, now that you've got through these hard days, it's all up and up from here.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you can start looking forward to playing again and having your adventures.
Yes, because we used to have a lot of adventures. That was part of, you know, you live an outdoor lifestyle.
Yeah.
That was our business. And we did a lot of that stuff. We went hiking and we went to Tasmania and we had really good family adventures, which we couldn't do for a long time.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a great story. I knew that there'd be something interesting in this. So, in amongst all of this, if you were able to come up with a philosophy of what you've learned from all this, what would you say?
I'm going. Not very good at philosophies. I did philosophy at uni.
Did you?
Yeah, well, I forgot to go to my final exam.
You forgot to go to an exam? What, how many years did you study for?
4.
You studied 4 years of philosophy and forgot to go?
No, I only did it for 1 year.
Oh, okay. And then just forgot to go?
I forgot to go.
Bugger.
So I had to go to the lecture table. I cried and I said, I forgot to go. And I made up some excuse and said, that's all right. You can do the exam tomorrow, such and such time. I said, oh, that's okay. So I did the exam and got a first class honour or something.
Oh, good on you. So, okay, you've studied philosophy, give me the answer. The way you've been living your life and getting through those difficult times, what have you learned?
I haven't learned lots. But how do you put it in words or one sentence?
When your kids go through a similar challenge in 10 or 20 years' time.
Well, that's an interesting thing because they've learned. You know, Toby goes to boys' grammar.
Yeah.
He loves it. But he sees the people that only have money and don't have an interesting life. He sees it. He sees that our life is more interesting than the people that drive the best cars and can do as they please, have, you know, the toys at home. He has nothing. But he sees that our life is richer than theirs, in a way. He understands that, and I think that's been a great thing to pass on to the kids as much as anything.
I think you just mentioned the philosophy.
Mm. It's not all about the money.
No, it's not, is it?
And I guess I think our relationship is strong as a result. You know, we've been through hell and back, and we've survived. And all those things about, you know, you see that all the time. It's about your health and about the people that you value. And to me, it's about being able to go somewhere and be in a beautiful place on my bike, sometimes on my own, often on my own, and really loving that time and finding, I suppose, I don't know, it just makes my soul sing to be able to go and do those things. They're special.
Yeah.
And I don't think people just think I'm crazy to do what I do, but to me it's what makes me me.
Mm. Yeah, it's who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty impressive person, may I say. I've always thought so ever since I met you those years ago.
All those years ago.
Yeah. Meg, thank you very much for telling me your story.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Let's have another coffee.
You can turn it off now.
Yes, thanks, Meg, and thank you for listening. That's episode 3 of Your Story. And if you're enjoying what you're listening to, pop over to the website and subscribe. There's links there for iTunes. The website address, again, is yourstorypodcast.com. And I'd love to hear from you if you want to leave a message. You can also find a link there to pop over and send me an email. Christmas is fast approaching, and I'm going to have a week or two away. I'm going interstate to visit family. And while I'm away, I'm going to take my recorder with me and see if I can get a few more conversations as well. I hope I meet some interesting people. It doesn't really matter. There's plenty of cool people around West End here, where I live, and I've got a few of them already teed up to sit down and have a bit of a chat to them. So if you're enjoying what you're hearing, get back to me. I'd love to know that you're out there. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
There are 8 million stories in the naked city. This has been one of them.